Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, eternal Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for your great kindness and love demonstrated for us on Calvary Cross. We thank you for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. We thank you for your great mercy and grace. O Lord, our God, forgive us all our sins and come down and bless each one of us and speak to us through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit and comfort us, we pray. We pray, look upon this land and the president and the task force who are doing your work. Be with them, encourage and strengthen them, we ask. In the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My subject this morning is based on the prophet Nahum, and it is in chapter 1 and verse 7. Chapter 1 and verse 7, I will read it, and it says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and be known, he knows them that trust in him." This is a verse that is found in the midst of judgment and in the midst of trouble. So I called the message "Comfort in the midst of trouble." As an introduction, I want to say a few things. I don't need to go to the detail of when the book is written and the what time and so on and so on. But Nahum is one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament, and it is a prophet, a prophecy in content, not in the message. The message is the message of God. There is no minor and major message, and the content is small, so that it is commonly known as one of the minor prophets. But he prophesied to the foreign nation, particularly to Nineveh. When you see verse 1, chapter 1, it says, "The burden of Nineveh, Nahum the Elkoshite." So it is particularly given to that particular nation. And there were some prophets who prophesied to the other nations. And one of the minor prophets before 150 years before Nahum was Jonah. Jonah prophesied his prophecy on Nineveh. At that time, the people of Nineveh repented their sins and turned to God. And it was amazing, and it was a miracle that has happened at that time. But later on, through the 150 years, they returned back to their sinfulness, and they sinned against God. And not only against God, and they sinned against the people of God. So because of that, God is now going to judge them, and a message of judgment is going to come on them. In the midst of continuous judgment that is pronounced by Nahum at that particular time, God suddenly intervened in verse 7, and he said through the prophet, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows them that trust in him." So this is really a comfort that come to the people of the Lord in the midst of the judgment of God on the neighboring nation. So I want to mention a few things about this particular verse, going up and down with some other verses. And in fact, this judgment that is pronounced by Nahum is not only to Nineveh, it includes Ethiopia as well, in chapter 3, and other nations as well are mentioned in this particular prophecy. So the first thing to show you the comfort of God in this particular time that we need in this our time too should be following like this. My first point then is the justice of God. I was surprised when Pastor read the weekly attribute of God. God is good. He is infinitely unchanging, kind, and full of good, goodwill. So this is really amazing. And the justice of God is also reflecting his goodness in so many ways. But God is just, and he is a God that judges. Nahum mentioned this from chapter 1, from verse 2 to verse 6. You can see he is mentioning God in so many ways. The first one that is mentioned is God is jealous and the Lord revenges. The Lord revenges and is furious. The Lord will take a vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath. I used to say wrath in UK. It's wrath. His wrath for his enemies. God, in his great kindness, mercy, and full of wisdom, is a jealous God. The word jealous is showing us that God is ready to defend his honor and name. He is ready to defend it, and he is also ready to defend his people from their enemies. This is a kind of God that we have and we believe. He is the one who loves his people. He truly loves us, and his love has no comparison, really. His love is true, perfect, and all-knowing love. He defends us and them, his people, and judge their enemies. This is the judgment of and the justice of God that is mentioned in this particular time. He does this for his and his people's enemies. He has his enemies, and his people has his enemies. These sinful people, Ninevites, if you go to the other chapters, they are mentioned, the city particularly is mentioned, a bloody city. They are blood shedders. They shed blood, innocent blood, most often. And they are enemies of the people of God. So they must be judged. And God, in his jealousness, rose up to judge and pronounce his judgment upon this wicked nation. If you go to verse 3 also mentions amazing thing. The Lord is slow to anger. This is another attribute of God. He is so patient. His patience is amazing. If God was not slow to anger, America would never been in existence, and other nations and nationalities, and even people, individuals and families should never been in existence even for a single day. But God is slow to anger and great in power. All of his attributes in his judgment, in his justice, are mentioned here, and will not at all acquit the wicked. So the wicked will never be left to do whatever he wants and she wants in this life and in this world. This world is his world, and he is the one who created us, and he is the one who gave us life, and we, as it were, got our everything from his kindness and his graciousness. So we should be accountable for our sins, and he will one day make people accountable for their sins. So that is mentioned in verse 3, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord has his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, so he can go throughout a troubled time, and he can pass through difficult situations, and he controls nature and natural laws so that he will reveal himself to punish and to judge sinful people. So he is amazing in his patience, and he is so great in his power, but never leave sinful people without punishment and judgment. This is the justice and the righteousness of our great and righteous God. When we come to verse 6, the other aspect of his justice is mentioned. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The time of his judgment is really a time of trouble. It will be a day of trouble. When he stands to judge, we have seen a token of the judgment of God. I remember in 2004, there was a tsunami in Far East Asia, and many people were affected. More than 400,000 people died from that tsunami. And this is a kind of a token of the coming judgment, the great judgment day, when our Lord will come and judge upon the entire humanity and this world. So people at that time would be in trouble. They would be in agony. They would be in distress. The judgment of God, when it comes to happen and to appear in this world, people will be in great distress, agony, and trouble, and pain. But what about the people of God? You know, when you study chapter 1 of Nahum, you can see from verse 1 to 7, the judgment pronounced with brief introduction in verse 1. And from verse 8 to 14, the judgment continues being pronounced. But in verse 15, there is a particular kind of comfort that is particularly given to the people of God. I'm not going to discuss about that, but in the midst of judgment, I want you to know this: nationwide trouble would come. And at that time, God gave his comforting message to his own people. We, his people, are given a special message of comfort in this particular time where we are in now. This pandemic, you know, it is a worldwide pandemic. It is not restricted in one part of the world. It is touching every area of the world: Africa, Asia, Latin America, and North America, Europe, and everywhere. So this is a kind of worldwide judgment coming upon the world. When I was thinking about this, I was reading Revelation chapter 6 and chapter 16 and the other chapters. When God judges the people of the world, three kind of people are found in this entire world. The first kind of people are those who repent their sins and turn to the Lord. And the second kind of people that are written in Revelation chapter 16 and Revelation chapter 6 are those who rebelled against God and who wants to use this kind of situation for their own political benefit and for their own advantage, sinful advantage, of course. But the people of the Lord will be comforted and protected in this time of great pandemic or judgment. So my second point with this respect is the goodness of God, which is a cause of comfort. Verse 7, I divided it just as it is, but I mentioned 7a and 7b and 7c. So 7a says, "The Lord is good." This is one of the attributes, as Pastor read it earlier. The Lord is really good. He is amazingly good. According to the Strong Concordance 02896, the Hebrew word for good is tov. It means pleasant and agreeable to the senses. The goodness of the Lord is amazingly pleasant. But I didn't mention earlier that the name Nahum means comforter as well. So this is a message of comfort. So Nahum here is showing the people that the Lord they believed And the Lord, the people trusted. That means the people of the Lord should know that their God is a good God in the time of trouble. And he's showing them in time of trouble, our God is really a good God. His goodness will never be changed. His goodness is manifested throughout his human history. You probably read, I know you read and you know so many passages of the scripture, and there are so many illustrations and examples that are seen in the history of humanity from the goodness of God. So we can mention some of them. He is good in giving us life. The life we get is from the goodness of God. It comes from him. He is good in answering our prayers. We pray and he is kindly answering them. He is good in providing for our needs. All our needs are met and provided for. And it's amazing, the entire world need is provided by his amazing provision. And the people of the world in general and creation as a whole is provided from his goodness. So our God, we must believe, is a good God. He is good in his love, shown at Calvary through the days of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came to this world and he took our human nature and he died on behalf of us on Calvary cross. This is the ultimate example of the goodness of God. And he is our guide. He guides us throughout our life. It's amazing how the grace and the kindness and the goodness of God guides his people. I never dreamt to know you and to be among you and to preach and to speak for the people here at this particular time. So his goodness and his guidance is amazing. Jacob mentioned it in Genesis 48, verse 15. He says, he has fed me all my life long unto this day. So the goodness of God, he said, he has fed me all my life long unto this day. And David in Psalm 23 mentioned, the Lord is my shepherd. And he mentioned that there is nothing that he wants. Every need and every want, I shall not want anything, because every need is provided by the good shepherd, the shepherd of his people. God's goodness come out of his divine kindness, his divine love, his divine compassion. None of us has told him to be good. He is good in himself. So his goodness is amazing and comes from his divine kindness and nature. So God's goodness never changes. He is good always through the history of humanity and through eternity. So in this time of uncertainty, in this time of worldwide panic, and in this time of distress and locking up of people like imprisonment, the goodness of the Lord is our greatest and most important comfort to our soul. And the second point I want to mention here is humanity in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, it is mentioned in verse 7b. Verse 7b says, a stronghold in the day of trouble. I want to mention few things about this day of trouble. It is a season of trouble, and Strong Concordance 06869 mentioned the word tsar. In Amharic, it is also the same word. In English, it is read tsarah, but in Amharic, it is tsar. It is the same word. And it means intensive and great trouble, like tribulation, national and international calamity, where people would panic in what is going in not knowing what is going on. So in uncertainty and pain. And as I mentioned in Revelation chapter 16 and in the Revelation chapter 6, people, out of their panic, rather than coming back and repenting their sins to the Lord and knowing Him, in Revelation chapter 6, you find them speaking to mountains, to rocks, and to caves, and they are mentioned asking them to fall upon them and to hide them from the coming judgment and from the anger of the Lamb that is going to come. So, day of trouble is a day of uncertainty. It is a kind of situation as our Lord, as our world is experiencing now. No one knows and expected such kind of thing to come into this world. Before 3 months ago, no one knows, no one expects. So countries all over the world are panicking, and government people are seeing that they are unable to do anything, really. Their science and their technology and their military, and they are trying, but you see, when God stands to judge, people will be in distress, and there is nothing they can do about it. So people are dying and dying. Mighty countries such as America do not know what to do, and things are beyond control, and no one knows what is going on to happen next day. So this is a day of trouble that is mentioned in the Bible, and we are exactly seeing it in our own eyes. And I believe so many troubles like this and more than this are going to come, because in the book of Revelation, the Lord God said, as a palm tree which has ripe fruits, when you shake it, the fruit will come down. And just like that, the stars from heaven will drop down on this entire planet Earth. And what do you think will happen at that time? That will be a day of trouble. Now, in the Congress, President Trump and the task force gather together every day and discuss what they should do, and they are handling the case very well, and I appreciate and I pray for them. But when that great calamity comes, the entire world knowledgeable people, scientists, rocket scientists, will gather together, and they are going to discuss how can we hit some of the stars from reaching the entire world. But it will never happen that way. So human effort and human ingenuity cannot restrain the judgment of God. So this kind of day is a day of trouble. Humanity are in trouble because of sin, because of sinfulness. Sin is everywhere. You know, bunch of evil people are leading so many government positions. Bunch of evils. We were discussing with some people recently about what is going on with some of the established political system. And someone said, these are bunch of evil people. They are trying to manipulate everything for the sake of their own political advantage. That is true. Such kind of people are leading many, many countries, and they are trying to control the world and every government. They promote sin and sinfulness. Some of them are not enough to be mentioned from the pulpit. The sinfulness and the sinful activity and so many things from extreme left, but they are bringing people to the day of trouble because of their sin and their sinfulness, because of the sin they are promoting, this entire world is in trouble. Yes, we live in a day of trouble, and God in His righteousness must judge sinful people. Day of trouble is a day of distress, day of sadness. It is a day of divine judgment. Right away, now we are living in day of trouble. So humanity and day of trouble, because of sinfulness, are not separated from one another. The extremity and the increase of day of trouble will increase from time to time until that great tribulation day and to the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My third point is God is a stronghold for his people. When you see verse 7b, and it says, I'm mentioning it again, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He is a stronghold for his people. Our Lord, this is separated, the Lord is good, comma, and a stronghold in the day of trouble. It is mentioning the same Lord that is very good, Lord. So this our God, the prophet is showing, in the time the people were living in the time of Nahum, in that day of trouble that is going to come, and even in this day of trouble, this message is showing us and showing them that our God is a different God in the time of trouble. That is, he is going to be a stronghold in the day of trouble. He clearly mentions that God is a stronghold. A stronghold in a strong concordance, 04581, is Maos. I cannot pronounce it very well, but it means a place or a means of safety. So it is a place of safety, a stronghold, and it is a means of safety. People very well know this particular concept of stronghold. They, at that time, people build a high stone-based buildings and walls and fortresses, and they call them, these are our strongholds and fortresses, and they think and they designed them to protect them from the coming attack against them. But in this particular instance, the prophet is showing a different stronghold. It is not a building. It is not a house. It is Almighty Defender, our God, the living God. This particular stronghold is a living one. That is explaining our omnipresence, omnipotent, and good God. By mentioning this stronghold for this our God, he is a stronghold, not like a particular place you run and you travel and you drive or you fly to be protected. He is everywhere. Our stronghold is everywhere. People who are listening to me while you are in your home and in your houses, people, please understand that this stronghold is everywhere. He is there with you, and he is there to protect you. He is there to be your stronghold. He is everywhere. He is not in everything. We don't believe a pantheistic view of Far East world view, but our God is omnipresence. He is everywhere, and he is in your home, and he is there to protect you. So he is a stronghold. And when the people hear about this message, God is good and a stronghold in the time of trouble, they know and they understand that they shouldn't go and travel to Jerusalem to be protected. He is protecting them everywhere. And he is amazing, never defeated, never give away or leave his people without protection at any time in their history. You know it, and I know it. Throughout our history, from the time of salvation up to the present, until we die, God is our stronghold always. So a soul, a particular soul that comes to God in believing the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting its sin and truly repent and trust Him, found our God, as is explained in this particular place. But the protection of the Lord is also mentioned by our Jesus Christ. And He said He protects His people and never lets them down. The Lord Jesus, in Gospel of John 10:28-30, He says like this, "And I give unto them eternal life." This is to His believers, "and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." So this is amazing comfort and strength to the people of the Lord. No one shall never take them out of my hand. No one. So He is our stronghold, and He is our protector, and He is our mighty defender, the Lord our God. So when you hear about national pandemic and worldwide pandemic and national disaster and so many things going on, it is important to remember who our God is. He is a God, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He is a refuge for His people. He cares for them and do what is needed for them in time of trouble. So, brothers and sisters, please understand this. He is our defender and the stronghold in the day of trouble, in such a day like this. And we must believe Him, and we must trust on Him, and we must look to Him in every situation of our life. And my last point before I come to conclusion is His knowledge. God knows His people. In the third part of this particular verse, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble," and 7c, "and He knows them that trust in Him." This is about His knowledge of His people. He knows them, the prophet says, that trust in Him. There are many people in this world who profess and who say that they are believers, and they are nominal believers. We know this in the entire world, but the Lord knows His own people. He knows them. This knowledge of God is a practical knowledge. I know from the Greek and the Hebrew particular interpretation or meaning of this particular word, knows them. This knowledge is a practical knowledge. God knows His people in a practical way as believers in His Son. So He knows them, and He knows their heart and their mind, and He knows how much they put their trust on Him, and how much they look to Him, how much they pray to Him, and how much they obey Him and follows in His instruction as believers. He knows them individually. You know, this is the greatest assurance for our comfort, because God knows us in and out. There is nothing unknown from us before the presence of God. So He knows you in person, as person. And He knows, as the Lord Jesus Christ says again in John chapter 10, verse 14, He mentioned that He knows them very well, and He calls them, and they themselves also know Him. So the Lord our God knows His people. He knows them through and through. I want to say this: there is nothing hidden. He knows our hair in number, The Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, your hairs, he said, are even numbered. We have never tried to number or to count our hairs, but he knows them in size and in thinness and in thickness and in everything. So he, in his divine wisdom, never allows his people to be attacked or to be plucked from his own hand by any kind of enemy. This is really our another comfort. But I want to say, he knows his people discriminately as well. He knows us distinct from the wicked ones. He doesn't know us just as he knows the other people. He knows in a special favor and grace because he has saved us through the shed blood of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He paid a price for us. He paid his son on behalf of us on Calvary cross. And we did nothing to come to him. He saved us by his grace. So he knows us discriminately, distinctly from the other people. And this is another comfort. You are known by him, by the Almighty. I think quite often about this. If the big person in a nation or in international situation knows you in person, let us say President Trump invites you to White House, you might be really amazed and you will be appreciative, and people would come to you in appreciation as well. But this man will go one day and he will pass. The one who knows us is high above than any powerful man, any rich man, and any famous man in the entire world. This is the one, the Almighty Lord, who is a stronghold for his people in time of distress, who knows us personally, by name, and in everything, through and through. So this is a comfort for us. Without his will, no one, even our own comb, cannot put our hairs back and forth. I remember one day Brother Seth was mentioning where after they came from Florida holiday, his children caught fishes from ponds. And he said, it is amazing. He said, the Lord is the one who knows what is happening inside the pond. No one knows. We don't know. And he is the one in his mysterious, amazing way provides for us and keeps us and protects us and knows us very well with his amazing wisdom and knowledge. So when I come to conclusion, I don't want to take much of your time in this time of distress, but we must get our comfort from this, our amazing God, from his word that is spoken in Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. God is righteous and a righteous judge. He must judge on sin and sinfulness. He must judge on this entire humanity because of their sinfulness. At the time of Noah, at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, and at the time of so many calamities, the Lord our God is going to punish and judge the entire world. And this is a token, this coronavirus pandemic is a token of the coming great and powerful judgment of our God. But in the midst of this kind of thing, his people who believed in the great kindness and salvation that is brought to us through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be protected. Even if we die, we will be immediately with him forever and ever. So this pandemic, I consider it as a great wake-up call for nations and nationalities and for the entire world. But the wicked people will be punished, no doubt about it, unless they repent and come to him through the term that he prepared for them, they will be punished. Even if this calamity is stopped and hindered by the prayer of the people of the Lord, another calamity, another thing will come from time to time to entire world. We have seen this from 2000 onwards, you know, hurricanes, calamities, earthquake, and volcano eruption, and so many things. The frequency is going to be increasing and increasing. We, as some people are doing, cannot pinpoint a particular day and say, this day the Lord will come. No, we will not say that, because the Bible doesn't say so. But the day is near. And that in the near day of the coming of our Lord and Jesus Christ, we must get this comfort. The Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble, in the day of tribulation, in the day of panic, in the day of sadness, in the day of distress, the Lord, our God, is a stronghold. And He knows you in person and every one of us. So what shall we do? What shall we do should bring me to encourage each one of us in at least two aspects of our life. We must pray, and we shouldn't be afraid of anything. We must pray and trust in the Lord. No fear of what is going on. We must pray and depend on Him, and we have to take care for ourselves. We need to follow the guidelines. Pastor is showing us five things to do. Wash, don't touch your face, and so on and so on. Keep your distance, safe distance. So we have to do that, but we shouldn't be afraid, because God, our God, is good, and He is a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knows them that trust on Him. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, loving Heavenly Father, we thank You and praise You, for You are our God. You are our God who is good. You are our God who is a stronghold in the day of trouble. You are our God who knows His own people and never leaves them. Our gracious Lord, what a comfort it is to know who You are and what You can do. Our gracious Lord, help us to trust on You and to avoid fear and to have faith and confidence on Your promise, on your word, on what You can do throughout our life. Oh, bless this church, gracious Lord, and keep and protect Your people according to Your great kindness and goodness. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.